Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
What's up? How is it going, my friends? Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Insider. We are here to chat with you about what's happening in the cannabis space, public market-wise mostly, but we like to chat about industry news. This is your first time watching. Drop a one in the chat. Second time or more, drop a two or three or any other number that you feel like. But regardless, I want to know if you guys are regular viewers or not. Also, drop a cannabis stock that you're interested in hearing about. We talk about them all. But let's have a quick rundown of the news. We have some super cool guests today. We have Jeffrey Harris. He is the CEO of SpringBig, super cool tech play in cannabis, who will be investable in short order. And then after that, we have Jesus Quintero, the CEO of Marijuana Company of America, 77 Proton Respect. Brian with the 420. Love it. That's what's up, man. Awesome. So let's run down a few stocks here, guys. There's been some news, some movement today. Akerna released their fourth quarters, another cool tech play in the space. Not really a whole lot of competition for them yet in this industry. I think that'll change probably in the next few years. But Akerna released Q4 revenue, I think, of like $6.5 million, up 61% sequentially. Fiscal year, they had, I believe, $20 million from the entire year. That's up 49% year over year. So they are trending well. First thing I'll say about them, huge loss that it seems to me for what they do. I think a lot of that comes from M&A and getting that M&A up and running. So I think we'll see a better 22 than we saw in 21. So that's Akerna. No investment advice here. Just kind of bringing you the news. Chicago Atlantic had a pretty strong fourth quarter compared to the rest of their 2021. Check them out. CGC released a super interesting study on PMS and the ability for CBD and maybe higher dosage CBD to have an effect on irritability, on stress, and other PMS symptoms. I think they did in partnership with James Madison University. Super cool study. I recommend checking it out. And I think just another step toward, you know, getting more efficacy and more efficiency for CBD and THC to be part of mainstream life. Weed Maps for Life. Brian, I feel you, man. Weed Maps is the bomb. I believe that's Maps, M-A-P-S, is their ticker. Super cool B2C-based platform, obviously consumer-driven, distribution, e-commerce, tons of plays there, but also content, I think, is a big part of what they do that drives retention in their user base. So keep an eye on them. Their competitor, Leafly, L-F-L-Y, another fantastic stock to keep an eye on. Ryan Mack, what's up, man? How's it going? Awesome, guys. So without further ado, I'm just kind of the mediator here. If you all have any questions for either Jeffrey or Jesus throughout this, two very different companies, but two super cool companies and investable, if not soon, than they are now, drop your questions in the chat. I'm here to help you guys. Brian, what a question. I can't put that up on the screen, but if I could, is my CGC investment dead money? You know what? As I said, do your own due diligence here. I say no. I think CGC has some work to do on proving their product to the wider industry as a whole, but I think CGC goes as the market goes, and the market goes as CGC goes. I think they are directly tied to it in a weird way that a lot of other stocks aren't. So as this market goes up, ideally, not a guarantee, we see CGC also improve there. I could just be a glass half full kind of guy. I don't know, but that's my personal opinion. With that being said, Aaron Thomas, my guy, can we please bring Jeffrey Harris, CEO of Spring Big, right on over to the Cannabis Insider community and cafe. How you doing, Jeff?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. We always like to run through a little news, but you know what? You have not been on Cannabis Insider before, so A, super excited that we finally got you here. You're a busy man, but with that being said, a lot of investors here. Could you just give us a brief overview of where you play in the space?
Yeah, sure. So Spring Big created a loyalty and digital communication technology platform for both cannabis retailers and cannabis brands. So in essence, what we're doing is we're enabling retailers to be able to launch and manage their loyalty program through Spring Big. We absorb all of their data off of the point of sale integrations that we have that we need to be able to calculate everyone's points. And then through that, we have the ability to sort and provide a lot of different segmentation options for the retailer in order for them to be able to communicate more efficiently and effectively with their customer base.
I'm assuming leveraging marketing, leveraging ads.
Yeah, so we're pulling in brand data, category data, response to promotional data, all of these different pieces. So when we have 20 some odd or 30 some odd different segment options that they can choose, they have the ability to mix and match those segment options. They have the ability to customize their own segments. They have the ability to create automated triggers off of the data that we're collecting. So if a customer hasn't come in 2 weeks and they want to hit them up with a promo to get it back in the store, or it's the customer's 20th visit and they want to reward them for, you know, coming to the store very often, or if it's a huge purchase, things of that nature, we have the ability to give them the opportunity to do one-to-one communication. And then on the wholesaler side, we're giving wholesalers and brands the ability to serve up content to the retailers that are selling their product. And if the retailer uses that message, that content in their message to their customers, the retailer gets the benefit of being able to have that message funded by the wholesaler, by the brand, and the brand gets the opportunity to connect with consumers directly through their retail partner. So it's two different platforms, but both servicing both sides of the industry in order to help both brands, wholesalers, and retailers get more effective engagement from their customers.
Content and data. Man, you are hitting the SEO keywords today, Jeff. That's awesome, my friend. So in terms of, you know, did you see a giant hole? And when you first started this company, and obviously you all have grown and become a major player in this space, but is there still a gap?
So we started the company pre-cannabis. We started it for small businesses, yogurt shops, pizza shops, things of that nature. We made a decision to pivot to cannabis in 2017. So about 2.5 years after we started, we made a decision to pivot to cannabis, primarily because we saw the tremendous opportunity in the industry. So we kind of look at it, Spring Big 2.0 was born in January of 2017 with two clients, two cannabis retailers found our platform. And today we have over 1,300 customers. We're probably installed in over 2,400 locations. So, wow. You know, we've had a great run, which is awesome. Now, of course, the key is to keep the run going, right? You know, we can't rest on our laurels. So back then there was a gap. There was an opportunity for us to enter the market and provide retailers in particular with the tools that we're providing them. And obviously we've added to the tool set as time has gone on. And then a couple years after that, you know, we saw the opportunity to help brands because brands were coming to us asking to purchase a retailer platform. And we actually, after understanding what they were looking for, thought that there was a better mousetrap by connecting them with their retail partners to leverage the databases that the retailers had built versus them building their own wholesale platform. So it seems to have worked out. The brand platform is really growing at a faster rate just because it's a much newer business. But ultimately, you know, when we think about the future of the cannabis industry and you think about the future of where the marketing dollars are going to tilt, we believe that the marketing dollars are going to tilt towards the wholesalers and the brands. They're going to have more marketing money or dollars to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, retailers in general, if you look outside of cannabis, brands are spending more on marketing than the retailer would be spending on marketing. So we believe the same thing is going to happen naturally over time. So we wanted to make sure that we were in the business of servicing the brands as well, because we think that that's going to be ultimately a really nice sized business.
So like you know, you see maybe a little bit more advertising for Coca-Cola than you do CVS.
Or if you take CVS, if you think about CVS, CVS's loyalty program, all those promos that come out on those receipts are funded by the brands, not by CVS.
Interesting.
So that's where the brands are really funding a lot of the retailers. They're supporting the retailers' loyalty program. They're supporting the retailers' communication program. If you think about alcohol, which you know a lot of people use as an analogy to cannabis, alcohol brands spend close to, if not more than 10% of total revenue on marketing. And that's probably 8 times more than the retailer spends. So usually you'll find more of the brands like allocating a larger percentage of their revenue to marketing.
It seems to me like what you do is a direct need to make this industry successful when it comes to CPG. You know, everybody talks about quality of product. And every time you open the package, you know, there's that quality. But there's also the quality of the brand itself outside of consumption. And it seems to me like you're providing that.
Yeah, if you think about it on the brand side, the wholesale side, you know, there's so many brands out there. There's just so many. So, and, you know, some of those brands are a little bit more mature, more well-funded. Some of them are niche brands. Some of them are newer brands. But at the end of the day, you know, the quality of the product, of course, is so important. Their relationships with the retailer to get the right placement is so important. But the marketing of that brand to become a brand that is known is so important as well. Because, you know, if you think about it, right, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you see Coke, Pepsi, and some, you know, private label brand, what are most people buying? They're buying Coke or Pepsi. They're not buying the, you know, the private label brand. So at the end of the day, it's really important for the brand to create you know, kind of like, who are they in this market and what, and, you know, what product, you know, what does their product look like? What does it feel like? And how do brands in general make a connection with the consumer?
And Jeff, I'm concerned. You don't drink RC Cola?
it was really good cola.
Right? I'm saying. Okay. So, you know, before we have a few more minutes here, you know, you've had a lot of success, right? So I think you're looking to capitalize on your laurels. And be something that we can all take part in, be a shareholder of the exciting opportunity you guys are doing on the data and content side specifically, right?
Right.
Can you speak more to that as to like where we can expect?
We made a decision middle of last year, like late spring of last year, early summer to partner with a SPAC to Atara Capital, where we're going to basically be de-SPACing hopefully within the next couple of months where, you know, I think we're at the seventh, eighth inning, we're getting close. And the whole reason for doing it and for becoming a public entity is we believe that there's a tremendous opportunity in the marketing and advertising technology space to be a consolidator. There's a number of great assets out there. And for whatever reason, those assets haven't scaled. And there's an opportunity for us to be able to absorb those assets, merge with them, have a wider offering of services in the advertising and marketing technology and data and content space, and then be able to service not only our 1,300 customers today, but as we add more customers on a regular basis, we seem to be very, very good from a distribution standpoint of bringing customers onto the platform and keeping them there. So our idea is, if we can bring them on and keep them there, and then we have more things to sell them, you know, I think our revenue per customer is going to go up significantly. And we think that matches up pretty well with some of the really interesting technology that's out there. But again, for whatever for various reasons, they have not scaled yet. And we think that there's an opportunity to partner together with them to provide them with scale and provide us with more services to sell.
Is this something where you feel like you have a lot of competition in this space? And I say this thinking of the loyalty programs like a High Tide, you know, what they offer in Canada versus, of course, Weed Maps and Leafly we spoke to earlier before our interview. But it seems to me like nobody's doing this exact thing you're doing.
We have a few competitors in the space. And, you know, and as I like to say, you know, good competition is good, right? I think, you know, every company needs competition. It needs it to light their fire. It needs them to stay motivated, to stay focused. So we have 4 or 5 competitors in the space. And I think that's fine. I think that's healthy. I think, you know, different companies bring different things to the party. It seems just based on the number of customers that we have and locations that we have that, you know, a really good slice of the industry feels that we're bringing the right, you know, solutions to the industry. But there is competition, but that's okay. I think that's, you know, anyone who thinks that they're going to be surviving because of lack of competition, that's a fool's game. You gotta be able to win, you know, with competition in the game, for sure.
And then, as a financial media company, Benzinga can relate to that statement. But Jeffrey Harris, CEO and co-founder of Springbrig, honestly, this conversation wasn't long enough, my friend. We'll get you on again soon. And let's do it when you guys de-SPAC. I'd love to stay up to date with you guys then. But you can see Jeff on Miami Beach, April 20th and 21st. We will have Springbrig presenting to our audience of investors. Could be you guys. Come see us there. Jeff, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You as well, sir. Awesome, awesome interview. I love touching the technology side of this, data, content. Jeff, you know, he's doing things that are necessary to support this industry being legitimate when it comes to CPG brands and driving a retention to an audience and consumer base. So with that being said, keep an eye on them, Springbig. You can catch all their content, benzinga.com/cannabis. And of course, once they're listed, Cannabis Daily will cover them on the reg. All right, y'all, we have another interview today. I get to do two, and it's not recorded. You're so welcome. Let's bring on Jesus Quintero, CEO of Marijuana Company of America, OTC listed, MCOA, my friend, and it's good to see you again. How are you?
Hey, great to see you too. Thank you for bringing us back, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, my
it's
friend,
great to be back.
Having you back. Honestly, you guys have had some news. You've moved. So we had Jesus on what? Wait, we think a year ago now, Jesus, something around that?
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
About a year ago. So we had a really nice introduction to your thoughts on the international side of the space, on, you know, where you think cannabis and hemp should be. But you've moved a lot since then. Can you give us an update maybe on the latter half of 2021 and early 2022? You know, what you all have been able to accomplish.
Sure, absolutely. Before we start, let me say from our organization, we want you to know that our hearts go out to the people of Ukraine, and we support them in any way we can, and our hearts, you know, in prayers are for them every day.
Yes, sir. Thank you for saying that.
MCOA has come a pretty long way since our last discussion. We've been continuing to do our, you know, CBD sales from HempSmart, our brand name. We have made not one, but two acquisitions. Mm-hmm. We acquired a company called CDistro, which is basically a distributor of CBD and hemp products throughout the U.S. And they're a pretty unique organization, great entrepreneurs, and they add a lot of accretion to our revenue numbers. And in addition to that, we've also acquired a company that's a nursery farm for cannabis out of Salinas, California, which is interesting because they do cloning, which is a type of business that I find a little bit unique, but interesting. And these two businesses are really, I think, propelled us into a new level of excitement. I think if you watch the NCAA tournament, the best way to say it is we are like one of the Cinderellas that keep beating up the big boys and moving up the ranks and moving up to the Sweet 16 and so on and so on. That's us in a good analogy.
And you've put a big partnerships, you know, to kind of get to where you were before these acquisitions. Now we're starting to see a little bit more activity and aggressiveness from you guys. What spurned that? What pushed you all to starting to be able to spread your wings a little bit more?
Well, there were many factors that led us to the current strategy that we have. One of the strategies was that we decided to consider ourselves growing more vertical than horizontal, where we weren't going to just focus on our CBD products. Although CBD is a, you know, products and the industry itself is a good one, it's kind of a bit saturated. So we decided to kind of expand ourselves a bit and try to do more acquisitions to make ourselves more diversified. We're still trying to expand on our CBD products because one of the things that we have done, I would call it an acquisition, not acquisition. What we did was we expanded ourselves and are now in the country of Brazil doing CBD sales. We established a new entity called HempSmart Brazil, and we're selling in the country of Brazil now, working with our partners there. We're also working on establishing ourselves in the country of Uruguay and working with laboratories there with the idea of maybe, you know, shifting our manufacturing overseas to reduce our costs and make ourselves more profitable and actually more competitive in the marketplace. And we are you know, working together with these partners, expanding ourselves there. In addition to that, CD Show brings a unique opportunity for us as we work with the retail side of the business cannabis world with hemp and CBDs, with retail stores, vape shops, working with Vape TV, which is a big marketing organization, and Dulcet. We just signed an agreement with them. So we're kind of doing more than just trying to build sales. We're expanding ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to build and enhance our shareholder value at the end of the day. That's the main reason we do what we do, because we have a big support. We have great shareholders. And it's only fair that we work to enhance what they've invested in.
Let's hone in a little bit on your acquisitions, if you don't mind. Feel free to kind of answer this in a more broad way or specific way to your company. But how has, you know, we've seen some pricing issues in California and some issues around that market as a whole, obviously the black market being a huge part of that. Has that affected you, and or is that how has that affected you, if it has?
No, actually, not. It hasn't affected us at all, only because, one, our new nursery cannabis farm that we have basically focuses on developing clones that we sell to the different dispensaries and actually marijuana farms, because of the process, because of the fact that with clones, you cut the processing or the cultivation side of it in a shorter time span, which allows farmers to generate faster crop for sales purposes. And our CD Show is not directly affected because we basically buy from manufacturers, work deals with them, and try to expand their volume by working as distributors for them with customers who are retailers that are also looking for their type of hemp and CBD products.
Have these acquisitions already started to show on your financials? Have already started to be a boon to you guys?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I could tell you that based on third quarter numbers that have been reported already, MCOA in 2019, the most sales we've ever had was $692,000. In the third quarter alone, we had $492,000 in sales because of our new acquisition. And that did not include our new nursery acquisition, the one out of San Salinas, California, that does the cloning. That's because they started in October.
Yes, I love that. It's a great update, my friend. So, looking ahead, man, let's talk about 2022 a little bit. Now, in terms of, are you looking for more M&A? And if you are, how do you target, these certain assets that you're looking to add on?
Well, actually, we're very positive about 2022 because the fact that as legislation continues to take a positive forward look at marijuana, cannabis, and has slowly but surely accepted it, and it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be the next high-powered commodity in the future. And the closer we get to that date, the more significant cannabis will be in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. We're actually looking for acquisition targets, companies that are kind of like, small, successful, but kind of can't get to the next level without a little bit of a, capital push or support. We're looking for those companies that are unique, kind of like the little Cinderella stories. As we call ourselves the Cinderella, we're also looking for those as well to add to our, diversified company.
Any type of side like product, whether it's data or some other support pillar to your company, or is it really you evaluate each opportunity as it comes?
We typically evaluate each opportunity as we see it, although we try to stay within the cannabis sector. But, it's not an automatic generic type of approach. Our approach is more unique. We actually look at each particular entity. It's not all about the sales numbers all the time. It's more about the uniqueness of the operations, the vision of the entrepreneurs, and the vision of the business and where it's trying to go, so that we can actually enhance and tag along and actually push it a little faster.
You know what, Jesus, it's fortuitous. I have an interesting question for you. I was just at an event that was very hemp driven, a lot of Delta 8, a lot of CBD there. So I have a question for you. There seems to be a little bit of an effort by some, not the entire industry, to draw a line between hemp and not just marijuana, but also cannabis. Basically saying hemp is scientifically not cannabis. we'll leave that debate aside. But when it comes to, how you consider cannabis, do you consider cannabis something that grows, I'm sorry, hemp, that grows alongside and is supported by marijuana legalization and the marijuana industry? Or do you consider it a separate thing entirely? Or is there a middle ground?
Based on my experience and my dealings in the different sectors with the different business owners and entrepreneurs, I would almost say that hemp actually goes along with cannabis. I think they go hand in hand together. It's a byproduct of it. Yeah, they're totally associated. They're not separate one and the other. Maybe separate in the content of the substance of what they are and what they do, but definitely they're all within the same branch and family.
Interesting. I like that. Does that change market to market? Like in Latin America, will hemp grow at a faster rate than the U.S. or vice versa?
I think the exciting part about Latin America is that cannabis, hemp, and CBD are relatively new. They've been hearing about it because the U.S. is so saturated with it. But out there, it's a brand new commodity. That's why we're having a lot of initial success being able to penetrate the market in Brazil, because it's excited, they're interested, they value it, they understand it. Probably a lot better than some of our markets here, where sometimes CBD is not 100% accepted because many people don't understand it. And the education on the other side in Latin America, they're very open to it. And it's really given us a lot of opportunities.
Where do you go from here internationally? I mean, you say you're building a footprint in Brazil, obviously a giant market. But of course, you go just a little bit north and you have one of the top five consumer markets in the world in Mexico. So where are you going next?
Right now, we're focused on South America because there's a whole bunch of markets that have yet to taste hemp, CBD, or CBD or cannabis. Well, cannabis might be a little slower to get out there because they're not accepting those right away. But hemp and CBD are being accepted. And as we introduce it, the amount of excitement and the amount of demand we're getting is totally unexpected. It's higher than we actually, you know, analyzed and expected ourselves. But it creates a lot of opportunity, and we feel good about the fact that it actually helps a lot of people. The CBD really, from a medical health perspective, has helped many individuals. That is why in Brazil, the only way to do CBD there is if you have a prescription with their equivalent of the FDA, which is called Anvisa, which we have already accepted. We've been already accepted and approved. So we're taking advantage of that. And now we're working with more medical physicians to try to continue to expand and provide our product to patients via prescriptions. And further down the road, we're looking to do partnerships so that we can do it on a much bigger scale.
Love that. And out of curiosity, would you ever consider more of a medical marijuana addition to your, or are you pretty hemp driven and hemp focused?
I think we're kind of both. We're not really trying to specialize in any area. We think that the products are great either way. And we look at our products and everything that we sell and offer. You know, we do all of our testings to make sure they're organic in nature. There's nothing that, you know, will be controversy in anything that we do, and making sure that it's definitely not a threat to any of the patients who use it.
All right. Well, wonderful interview. Thank you again for being on. What excites you about the year ahead? It could be for a Marijuana Company of America. It could be for the industry as a whole.
I think what really excites me the most is that, you know, our company is on the move. You know, with our acquisitions, it's not about just adding companies. What I'm finding very exciting and enriching is that the entrepreneurs of each different type of business brings a uniqueness and understanding and an education to us as an organization. And I feel like we're just evolving and you know, really enhancing and growing in a way that's not measured, you know, exponentially. And I think we're becoming more of cannabis experts along the ways by having these entrepreneurs educate us and show us these business models. And as we continue to find new unique models and add them to our mix, it just makes us, one, that much more diversified, and two, that much more solid as an investee, and three, we have a chance to be a leader in the industry. We have a chance to make a difference out there in all markets, not just the US, but also internationally, which we are extremely excited about.
Amen, Hayden. Thank you so much again for your time. Honestly, I'm very impressed by the growth of MCOA since our last interview, and I very much look forward to watching you guys again this year. Keep these guys on your watch list, everybody. MCOA. Yes,
and
sir.
And looking forward to the conference in Miami.
Yes. Ooh, my man. I didn't even have to shout it out for you. Jesus will be there as well as Jeff.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you for having us.
We're excited, Jesus. Thank you again. Appreciate your time. We'll see you again in April.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome show, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Cannabis Insider. If you want to hit up our event on Miami Beach with both of these guests, along with a ton more leaders in this industry, bzcannabis.com. Get your tickets. Use Lane 30. L-A-N-E 30. It's 30% off your ticket. You're welcome. But we'd love to see you there in Miami, April 20th and 21st. BZPsychedelics.com, April 19th, if you want to see those companies as well. Kevin O'Leary, Mike Tyson, the list goes on of people that will be speaking on those 3 days. This is Elliot Lane. Stay tuned for Money Mitch. He is up right after this. Peace.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
When your life depends on it, when everything is on the line, you've got to get real about addiction treatment. Only Caron offers 65 years of medical expertise in evidence-based treatment with real, proven results. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Caron patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. So if you're ready for something real, visit caron.org/real today. Caron. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
If your accounts payable is buried in paperwork, getting back to normal may not sound so appealing. Automate with AvidXchange and enjoy 100% digital accounts payable. With 24/7 access and secure e-payment options, you can easily review, approve, and pay your bills anytime, anywhere, from any device. So say goodbye to all that paperwork and hello to the ease and flexibility of automated accounts payable. Learn more at AvidXchange.com. That's AvidXchange.com.
Hurry in to Mattress Firm's July 4th sale. Get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $500 on Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchase up to a $499 value. Or shop Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America, and save $500 on all Tempur-Breeze mattresses and get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.